And welcome once again to Turnbuckle Trash. This is 2018, the best of what happened during our podcast of 2018. Today, we're going to be featuring some of the guests we had, including some trash heads and some performers. First up, you'll be hearing from the Ringmaster. Also, the time that I was invited to be on a radio show talking about WrestleMania and professional wrestling. We also talked to Lisa Johnson, who takes us on a female perspective of pro wrestling. Zanka from Still Real to Us also joins us. And a newbie, Mitch Hinline, talks about his first experience at a live event. That's all coming up on Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
And we have an independent wrestler with us. He's a great tag team wrestler. Thanatos the Ringmaster. How you doing, my man?
Hey, it's the Ringmaster, Thanatos. Get it straight, Skippy.
Yeah. what it takes to put on a good independent event.
It all starts with hard work. If someone says, hey, we've got a ring, you know, you want to come train, get your butt there. Don't make excuses. Get there and work your butt off.
Where's the most unique place you've performed?
I would have to definitely say Comic-Con. That's probably the biggest crowd I've ever been in front of.
Let's talk a little bit about how to train yourself to keep yourself from getting injured.
Listen to your trainers. Do what they're asking you to do because they're trying to make it so that you don't go out there and break your neck. And that's if I don't get in the ring with you anyway, because I'm going to.
I remember coming back from a war show and telling my partner Dave here, I said, it was a good show. I said, they had this guy there that was huge. And I says, and he did a frickin' moonsault off the top rope. And I said, how the hell does a guy like that?
It's one of those things. I mean, I'm from a circus, you know, so I kind of learned acrobatic type things. As far as that goes, again, it just goes back into training.
You had to learn from someone else. You talked about the original Ringmaster. Some of the influences on you as you were getting ready to get into the business.
The guy that I've always looked up to as far as wrestling goes has always been The Undertaker. The Psycho Circus is where I am from. That's where I feel is home.
Ringmaster, who else wrestles in the war promotion?
Anybody that's relevant? Well, if they're not in the Psycho Circus to us, they're not relevant.
Oh, and you put up with people like Zane and Dave from Turnbuckle Trash asking you stupid questions, right?
Well, stupid is as stupid does. So
he must know me. He remembers me. I'm telling you.
What are your goals for 2018? What can the Ringmaster achieve this year?
Well, there goes one of those stupid questions you brought up earlier. I've already told you where I'm going with this. Our goal right now is to decimate the tag team division. Eventually, we're going to deem it fit that we're going to take those belts from them, and we're going to run roughshod over the tag division.
Hey, dude, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Wow, no problem.
It's time to take out the trash.
Welcome to KVNU's For the People, and it being Wednesday, an hour or two, it's time for us to step away from politics into the world of pop culture. So we've invited a very special guest host into the studio today. The man behind Cool 103.9, Dave Denton, joining us here in studio. But Dave, you're wearing a different hat here in our studio today. But specifically today, you're here to talk to us about something that is, when it comes to pop culture, whether people love it or hate it, everyone knows it. WrestleMania, 34th WrestleMania. It blows me away that
yes.
Mr. T punching it out.
Pitiful, I pitiful.
This is again, whether someone is a wrestling fan or not, they know these faces. They know these names. They know, everyone knows who Hulk Hogan is.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows. For a lot of people, this is still a big annual event.
This is one of the biggest sporting events in the world.
Blows me away the money that is involved here.
Yeah. Before I get too far started, I wanted to wish you a happy Rusev Day.
Oh, right.
Bill, also, happy Rusev Day to you.
Rusev.
Happy Rusev Day. Wearing the t-shirt and everything today.
Yes, he is. Yeah, happy Rusev Day.
And my WWE pants, too. I had to come just prepared. No, really, WrestleMania, when it started 34 years ago, was an extreme gamble on Vince McMahon Jr.'s part.
Sure.
He put everything he owned up.
Amazing.
To see if this would work. This is WrestleMania week. They have programming every night this week on the USA Network. And then on Friday night, they're having the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. And people like Hillbilly Jim is going to be there, Mark Henry, a musician going into the celebrity wing, Kid Rock. That's going to be on Friday night. That's going to be shown on the WWE Network, which is only $9.99 a month. But wait, the first month is free. They always do that.
That's the pitch.
Yeah,
huh?
And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you another channel.
Yeah, we can do that. But really, Vince did just he mortgaged the farm to get this thing off the ground.
I found this great article, Viacom president, 2017. He's talking about the advent of pay-per-view and building up some of these big events. And he credits that entirely to the success of WrestleMania. He literally says, pay-per-view was born, first tested, and proven viable by WrestleMania. That is really unique history.
And WrestleMania 3, the one in Detroit. With Andre the Giant against Hulk Hogan, when Hulk Hogan slammed Andre the Giant, I was watching. That was the very first pay-per-view I ever purchased.
You saw it.
I saw it, and I loved every minute of it. A match between Randy Savage and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, one of the best matches in the history. That's what wrestling historians will tell you.
Sure.
But everybody remembers the Hulk and Andre the Giant.
I mean, it's a pretty iconic image. Hulk Hogan holding that guy, Andre the Giant. Up.
That man was huge.
He was huge.
And by the way, if you have HBO, there's going to be a documentary about the life of Andre the Giant. I think it's coming out this month. And his story is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
From, you know, he was actually handicapped by his size. And they said he was the nicest gentleman in the world until you made him mad. Hulk Hogan even said he knew that it was a passing of the torch, because if Andre would have gotten angry with him, it would have been over.
It was done.
7'3", 7'4", yeah. 500 pounds, yep. And just enormous.
I remember reading that when he was in The Princess Bride, they actually had to reinforce certain sets. Because he was so much heavier than the other act. Why is WrestleMania such a pervasive pop culture?
Well, you have your fans, and then you have people that are closet fans.
Oh, okay.
I run into closet fans all the time. You know, they'll say, well, I used to watch wrestling, but I don't know more. But, you know, I know John Cena is pretty cool.
They still all know
and
all the names.
Rock and the Usos and the New Day. We call those closet fans. The people that don't want to admit they will turn on the TV or go to a website and see highlights or go to YouTube and see some old interviews or go to the might even have the WWE Network at home. They keep it underneath wraps because they somehow feel embarrassed. I say embrace.
Yeah.
Because it's entertainment.
So I did a little surveying of my younger relatives, and I'm proud to report not in the closet about the WrestleMania fanship at all this week.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of surprisingly serious discussion and analysis of this sport, but it is, I think, more so than almost any other major sport that happens for fun.
Yeah. It, you know, When people really look into it, professional wrestling has one of the highest incidences of podcasting. I read one time there were more podcasts about the subject of professional wrestling than any other
really?
One subject.
Interesting.
And it is, and just like in any form of entertainment, you're going to find good, you're going to find, and then you're going to find some that are just really bad. You can go and find some podcasts that are filth.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I'll tell you that. They're just filth.
I've run across some.
And yeah, and then you can also find podcasts that are very interesting, done by the wrestlers themselves.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Chris Jericho has a very good one. Stone Cold Steve Austin has a great one. But then you have fan-based ones like we have on Turnbuckle Trash.
You host the Turnbuckle Trash
TurnbuckleTrash.net. And I have two co-hosts with me. I have Ajay Salveson, you know Juice.
Fun guy.
Yeah, he works around here some. And
troublemaker.
Then, yeah, he is a troublemaker. Isn't he? And then Zane Peterson, who originally lived in Lewiston. And Zane comes on with us via Skype. And I think the one thing that might be just a little bit different about our podcast, we don't expect for people to think we're experts.
Sure.
We are fans of the sports entertainment. I just call it pro wrestling.
But you're very educated fans.
Very, very much.
On the subject.
Yeah, and then I think, to be honest with you, with my radio background and Ajay's radio background and Zane just being a nut, we have fun with it. We joke around. And then we talk about some very serious subjects, too.
Yeah.
Recently, the Fabulous Moolah, they were going to name the Battle Royal for the women after the Fabulous Moolah.
Oh, yeah.
A very controversial figure in the world of professional wrestling. She's accused of some very, very, very serious charges.
Yeah.
And the WWE, after less than 1 week, backed off naming it after Fabulous Moolah. And I applaud them because I've read a lot about Fabulous Moolah, and this woman was not nice.
No.
Not nice.
To put it.
Turn around and then, and I'm not a big fan of the man, but John Cena. I have met Ron Simmons. I've met Chris Adonis, the Godfather.
Yeah.
And then some local competitors like Martin Casale. Martin is on Lucha Underground as Marty the Moth. He's just a wonderful guy. And we communicated a couple times, and we've met a few times. And he's actually in New Orleans this week going to WrestleMania.
Really?
We had a guy that... It lives in Salt Lake City, and he is also getting some nationwide publicity. He goes by the MK Bandit, and he's your traditional manager. And he was at WrestleMania last year and joined us on the podcast, too. So we even have a segment we call Butt Fumbles.
That's my favorite part, is this is a raw podcast. It's not heavily edited. It's you guys, sometimes two of you, it's usually three of you, just talking about something you're excited about and that you like, and...
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You know what day today falls on? What day is today?
Rusev Day!
What day is today?
Rusev Day!
What day is today?
Rusev Day!
Every single day.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Welcome back to KVNU's For the People. Dave, before we go to the news this hour, I wanted to bring up this. It's sort of the fun part of WrestleMania, or, you know, I counted no less than 25, but everybody trying to guess at the storylines, the unexpected twists. There's even a betting market on twists.
Can you believe that?
And it's huge.
It is
huge. It's as big as the Super Bowl, at least in the Vegas take here.
Yeah, one of the big questions this year is John Cena. Who, by the way, I did bring you gifts today. I brought both of you a John Cena action figure from the guys at Turnbuckle Trash.
That's great.
Yeah. John Cena, by the way, has been over the last month or two trying to say that he has no match for WrestleMania. So he's been calling out The Undertaker. There's been a lot of speculation whether John Cena will be having a match against The Undertaker or not. You don't know who The Undertaker is. Oh, my word. What a great character this man is.
Been around for a while, right?
Yes, The Undertaker. He started off basically in my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, as Mean Mark Callis. He went to Texas and then became The Undertaker, and he just became one of the icons in the industry. But he retired last year after getting beaten by Roman Reigns, a very controversial thing in the wrestling world, too. And Cena's been calling him out to have one last match. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I suspect that John Cena will show up there and he'll say, they'll let him in the ring. And he'll say, I'm here because The Undertaker's a coward. And then you're going to hear the bong. And The Undertaker will come out. I mean, that bad, he was so bad he scared himself, you know. If you understand, it's a great performance art that is very physical and can be extremely dangerous if you're not trained properly.
Don't you think that's kind of an underappreciated side of this?
Because there
are always debates. I remember the big debate is in the late 80s, early 90s, was it real, was it stage? What parts are stage, what parts are real? And that, to me, kind of missed the point that even things that might be a bit orchestrated require a high level of skill to do safely and in an entertaining way.
These guys get hurt.
Yeah.
The
blood's real.
The blood is real. It's not a blood capsule. It's not ketchup. And they don't do much blood anymore. That's kind of sadistic. But Lucha Underground, by the way, they will do that. Marty the Moth did some bloody confrontations in the last two seasons. But, yeah, there have been people that have been paralyzed. People have been killed. I saw a match in WCW where Marcus Alexander Bagwell, Buff Bagwell, had a spot where Rick Steiner jumped off the top rope and they didn't hit it right, and he was paralyzed for several years, broke his neck.
I do remember that.
Stone Cold Steve Austin broke his neck in the middle of a match against Owen Hart. And it basically stopped his career. He did come back for a little while. He was more comic relief and didn't do a lot of physical stuff in the ring. Kurt Angle, who's going to wrestle on Sunday with Ronda Rousey, a lot of people know her from MMA days. When he was going for the Olympic gold, he won the Olympic gold with a broken frickin' neck, is what he always says.
Yeah.
These guys are tremendous athletes. They have to learn the performance part of it. And that's where people like UCW Zero in Salt Lake City, WAR, the Wrestling Association of the Rockies, Epic Pro, also in Salt Lake City, these are the guys that are learning their craft because it is a craft. If you've ever talked to anybody who's ever tried out or done just a little bit, they'll tell you it's one of the hardest things you've ever wanted to do. Taking what they call bumps, falling. They say the ring is like a trampoline. No, it has a little give to it, but it's on plywood, and it's got like a quarter inch of a little padding on there. A quarter inch, you fall on plywood that has a little bit of give, it's still going to hurt.
It's going to hurt pretty bad. You can see it sometimes on the faces. Some real skill going into this. And look, Bill's over there playing with his John Cena action figure. Should we have a John Cena action figure fight during the news?
I haven't had an action figure doll for decades. Well, it's kind of fun.
I'm excited about this. I'm adding this to my action figure collection.
Well, I have like three shelves full at my house. By the way, you know, when I'm talking about these performers, if you've ever done any kind of performance at all, it gets into your blood. And the guys that just love the business, they're the ones that live it. They don't mind the 18-hour drive to the next city. They don't mind getting on a plane and traveling 350 days out of the year. It takes a real commitment by these guys.
Sure.
Martin Casals.
Yeah.
He's someplace every weekend. He works full-time.
Full-time job.
And he's also in Lucha Underground, has to take days off for that. He's performed in Mexico City. He's performed in Denver, Colorado. He's performed over the Southwest, Las Vegas. And then he'll get a day where he'll go to UCW Zero and perform there for them, which they have about a monthly show. I just have a lot of respect for what they do. Even when I was a youngster, I always knew that nobody could jump off the top rope with their knee into somebody's skull without breaking somebody's skull wide open.
Killing them, right?
Or having their knee just kind of go apart, you know. And if you've been on the stage, if you've been in a band, if you've, enjoy public speaking, it gets in your blood.
Yeah.
Like me with radio. I could do radio 24/7 if you gave me a chance.
It's the same with politics. You can see the same thing play out in so many ways, and that's why it's fun to kind of put a spotlight on this here today, because again, it's an underappreciated art, I would call it, and it's something that, as you mentioned when we first started, you know, there are a lot of closet fans out there. It's something that people are almost afraid to admit that they like, which I don't get, because it's fun. It's again an art. There's a lot of skill to it.
And WrestleMania is not only available on pay-per-view, but in 177 countries on virtually any streaming device via the WWE Network.
Welcome back to KVNU's For the People. I'm Jason Williams. Dave, you mentioned that on top of the actual WrestleMania event, which is a one-day thing with a big week-long lead-up, there's a convention that goes on around this each year, and it's equally as huge, right?
Yeah, it is absolutely monstrous. Now, the WWE kind of stays away from something called WrestleCon. They'll have their own events going on. They have NXT TakeOver, which is their minor leagues. But WrestleCon itself takes place at the Sheraton there in Las Vegas, so it's not a small venue by any means. And then there will be over 200 wrestlers current, and also some of the old timers there, like outside of the WWE, the Bullet Club, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Cody. By the way, the Young Bucks merchandise in the Bullet Club, they're some of the highest sold merchandise in the country.
Sure.
And they're not involved with the WWE. They're with ROH and New Japan. ROH is having an event, Impact Wrestling, which is shown on Pop TV,
About that. Now, that one's pretty popular in the ratings right now.
Yeah, it's doing pretty good. They've had some financial difficulties. Impact Wrestling is going to co-promote a program with Lucha Underground that's shown on the El Rey Network. Champion is Austin Aries, and he's going to be joined by Phoenix. They're going to tag team against Alberto El Patron and I think Pentagon Jr.
And so you could literally go spend more than a week.
Right.
Just immersing yourself in the world of wrestling and WrestleMania, and then wrap it all up with WrestleMania. And
it would be unreal. Now, by the way, on
that
Twitch
puts the
TV.
The Comic Cons to shame.
Yeah.
Three days?
Yeah. you could just spend money. Woo, baby. WrestleMania itself, their pre show, the Super Bowl pre show.
Yeah.
2 hours long.
It is
long. And then the WrestleMania itself will be 4 hours. And you're still coming over to my house, right?
Yeah.
And we asked Bill, but Bill went, you're not one of those closet fans, are you, Bill?
I'll have to check my calendar.
Now that he has the action figure, you may want to.
Yeah, he might be a John Cena fan. Yeah.
Could I bring my action figure?
You can bring your action figure.
Yeah, it's mandatory, actually.
Yeah. And then if you want to get set up for the next year, you have got to watch Monday Night Raw on the USA Network the following night. It is one of the craziest shows. That's where they kind of start new storylines. They bring in some of the newer people. They might be bringing people up from NXT. Like,
don't be a closet fan.
Don't pay.
Don't do it. Come out.
Happy Rusev Day, by the way. So. Chanting, yes, 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 yes. That's Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
He started that. The Yes Movement was what it's called. And I do have my Yes Movement here.
He has the towel. You can see a photo of it on our Facebook page.
And then I would imagine there will be pancakes.
Oh, okay.
With the New Day.
That took me a second.
Yeah, you had to come up with that one, didn't you? There's a tag team called the New Day. There are three friends that they had Booty-O cereal, and they said, what are you going to do to do be Booty? And there's actually a book coming out about the New Day. Happy Rusev Day, by the way. Bill, happy Rusev Day.
Thank
Mitch
you,
Mitch in the corner. Happy Rusev Day.
Yeah, the sports guys should do wrestling,
they should
don't you
do
think?
That.
We'll work on it.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Hey, today on Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to have a special guest. It's Lisa Johnson. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Dave.
Now, just to let everyone know, Lisa works with me at the Cache Valley Media Group. You take care of a lot of the things behind the scenes that we all do here that a lot of people don't realize. This is a big job, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Okay, 19 years, Lisa and I have known each other. And I only found out about a year and a half ago that you are a professional wrestling fan.
I am a huge fan.
All right.
Yeah.
So I thought, Lisa, what we'd do is maybe talk from a female perspective, because everybody says, this is a male soap opera. You've heard that before.
I have heard that.
Okay. But from a lady's perspective, what got you interested in watching professional wrestling?
Do you know, I have only brothers, and so they were into wrestling, so I started watching at a very young age.
So your brother's name, by the way?
Matthew and Mark.
They still watch professional wrestling?
Mark does, not Matt.
Matt?
I know.
Matt? I'm going to have to talk to this young man. Me and him going to have some words. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
But Lisa, so when you first started watching professional wrestling, you're in the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
Back in the Monday Night Wars, who were a couple of your favorite wrestlers? I'm not going to just get you down to one.
Bushwhackers were my favorite.
Wow.
Oh, I love the Bushwhackers.
The Bushwhackers.
Yes, I love the Bushwhackers. And Jake the Snake. Oh, I love Jake the Snake.
Pretty cool. So what attracted you to the Bushwhackers?
I don't know. I don't know. It just was the brother thing. I don't know. Their little one that'd come in and do their little dance. I just love them, and they seem to always win.
Because they were pretty good.
Yeah.
They were a lot of fun to watch. Did you see them on their TV appearance on Family Matters?
I did not.
With Steve Urkel playing a professional wrestler.
Oh, I'm going to have to go YouTube that.
Yeah, you are.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, well, the Dave Denton Book of Useless Knowledge is open once again.
Wow.
As life goes on, have you still been able to follow wrestling from an early day?
I still follow it, just not as much as I'd like to. I just don't have the time.
Well, that's why you listen to Turnbuckle Trash,
true.
Right?
That's so, right. Absolutely.
I know. I'll see Lisa in the hallway, and I'll say, we got a new trash coming up. Oh, what you going to talk about? So today we're talking about you, Lisa.
I love it.
Maybe some of the other professional wrestlers that you've said, man, I would love to watch those guys in the ring.
Ultimate Warrior.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I love him.
Uh-huh.
I still love The Rock. Shawn Michaels, I still love him.
Uh-huh.
Hercules.
Hercules Hernandez.
Oh, yeah.
With that beard and that body.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And his little shorts.
Yes, absolutely. And Bam Bam Bigelow.
You're talking about these other guys, and they're fairly good-looking guys.
Oh, yes, they are.
And then you mention Bam Bam Bigelow.
I know.
Why Bam Bam?
I don't know. I've liked him since he was probably one of the first wrestlers I really liked. I don't know why.
With all those tattoos over his
head.
He was awesome, though.
Yeah,
I was a big fan of his, too. What you like and what you don't like in professional wrestling right now?
John Cena. I love him. I don't like the drama in his life, but I love him.
You mean with all the stuff going on with he and Nikki?
Oh, yeah.
And now, on Turnbuckle Trash, it's time for As the Ring Turns, the soap opera of John Cena.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is
and
now.
Nikki Bella.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the
we take you back to WrestleMania 33.
I have been waiting so long to ask you this. Stephanie Nicole Garcia Colas, will you marry me?
The happy times of the engagement.
The man's in love, of course he came.
You're damn right I am.
And then came total bellows, disagreements, arguments, and heartbreaking revelations.
What's hard at times, what people don't realize about my relationship, is I'm alone a lot, and
Bree's now a mom, and Nicole's, you know,
not a mom.
Then the breakup, and now on the Today Show, John says he wants Nikki back.
I still love Nicole. I still would love to marry Nicole. I still would love to have a family with Nicole. Don't want anybody else. I love Nicole, and I'm really trying to support her in her trying to find whatever it is that she wants that made this fall apart in the first place. But I don't have any other hopes other than maybe one day that we can work it out.
But as the ring turns, Nikki says, hold on there, she's not so sure.
I didn't think cold feet and all of that type of stuff existed, but it exists. I have hope, and I think it's just, I'm at a point in my life where I feel like I kind of lost me, and I want to find me and work on me, and I just want John and I both to live, you know, happily ever after, whether it's together or separate. The day I say my vows, I want to say them once, and I want to fully mean them, and so that's what made me hesitant.
Join us next time for more of As the Ring Turns.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Have you ever watched Total Bellas?
I have not, and I need to.
You need to watch
it. I need to.
Ajay loves the Total Divas and Total Bellas.
I'm going to have to go watch that.
Yeah, and this season just started, by the way, the third season of Total Bellas.
Are they on again?
No, I don't think so, because he wanted to marry her. He wanted to be the father of the children.
Wow.
Yeah.
They can have brother love marry him. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I love you. There's been actually people that think this is a work, that this is something to promote the Total Bellas. Do you think that?
That could be possible. I never thought of that.
I hope it isn't, because if they find out that it was planned to do all this, they've lost all credibility.
I agree.
So are you a fan of women's wrestling?
I do like women's wrestling. Not as much as the men, though. Is that terrible?
I think most fans are that way.
It's true.
So, female wrestlers?
I like Stephanie McMahon. I know that's weird, but I do.
I do, too.
I don't know why.
Yeah, Monday Night Raw. And let me just say this about Stephanie. She doesn't get in the ring very often.
True.
But when she does a good job with a few moves that she probably knows. Yeah. But, boy, her microphone work when she's doing her stuff in the ring.
Amazing.
It is so good.
I agree.
Stephanie
well,
McMahon.
I like Triple H, too, though, so I don't know. It's just the pair. I don't know. Love them both.
And then how they got together during, which was a little controversial with China and all that.
And China's dead, right?
Yeah, she did pass away. Joni did pass away. And China, Third Rock from the Sun.
I have never seen Third Rock from the Sun. One show I've never seen.
You have an assignment, young lady. YouTube, Third Rock from the Sun, China. But Joni did such a good job, especially with her relationship with Harry. I'm just going to keep that right there. It is hilarious. Have you ever been to a professional wrestling match?
I have, yes. Down at the E Center. I've been to a couple of them. I loved them. They were great.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I think it's just being there, being in the moment.
Uh-huh.
I love that, seeing what you've seen on TV every single week, and then you see it in real life.
Uh-huh.
It just is. And then whenever you watch it on TV after that, you look at it in a totally different way after being there.
You'll be a fan the rest of your life?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much
for
joining us.
Thank you for having me.
On Turnbuckle Trash.
It's time to take out the trash.
Hi, everyone. Turnbuckle Trash. We are joined by Zane. Zane, you can now say hi.
Hi.
Very good, Zane. We have a special guest on the phone with us right now, Zanka. How you doing, Zanka? Zanka is with StillRealToUs.com, a great wrestling website, and we thank you for joining us today on Turnbuckle Trash, Zanka.
Thank you guys for having me. I just want to say, Zane, you totally nailed your hello. Yeah, you know what I mean? I almost jumped in. Like I said, our names are so similar. I was almost like, hi. My dad was really into wrestling. So the day I was born, literally, apparently, Hulk Hogan was on TV, and my dad was watching it with me. So it's stayed with me ever since. It was kind of our bonding thing. And I was about 18, and the people in my band were actually all wrestling fans as well, which was really funny because we toured all over, and people would not make fun of us, but they'd be like, you still watch that type of deal. And then the Still Real guy, you know, the guy was on Tosh.0 and all that, the guy who went viral. He had that video where he was like, it's still real to me, damn it. And that kind of became our call and cry. So we went along with it, and he gave us the blessing to use it. And so here we are today.
When you mentioned to somebody that you are a professional wrestling fan, some of them actually kind of look down their nose and say, oh, you still watch that? And I say, mm-hmm.
Exactly. Basically, the way I look at things, too, is I always try to find the funny in things. Pro wrestling to me has always been kind of funny. It's so out there. It's so different. When I really started getting a respect for it is when I did about, you know, I took 6 training classes. I got in the ring. I did all that. That's where the respect came from for the guys and everything. And being 5'8 and a 175, I realized quick, I'm not going to be able to get anywhere. Josh and I is the one who started StillRealToUs.com, and I ended up having a kid, so he took over full-time, and he made the .com really what it is today. I mean, he had the driving force. I just wanted to make dumb articles about, you know, who are 5 guys you wouldn't want to have over for a barbecue, you know, and like the Dudley Boys, they break all the tables and stupid like that. He really wanted to get into it. He wanted to get into it deep, and he did a great job, so... He deserves, I'd say, about 90% of the credit. I'm more of the icing, and he's the cake.
let's just put it this way. I'm almost 6'1". My thigh probably weighs more than you do, Zanko. So,
there we go.
I'm a large individual. You know what I'm talking about. So, hey, let's talk a little bit about the website, stillrealtous.com. I actually have it called up right now, and the look is fantastic. You have news, you have articles, you have a store there, the memes, the podcast, and more.
We hired a guy originally. He started off, and like everything, it starts off small. We had a couple things here and there where we wanted change on the original website, and he contacted this guy who really made a phenomenal site. And then he ended up getting more into that aspect, you know.
We don't want to give Josh too much credit now, do we?
Oh, I give him all the credit, my man. I do the podcast because I like to talk. I hate writing, and he'd have to edit my articles. And, you know, being friends, he doesn't want to be like, dude, you're an idiot. So he'd take it real easy on me.
Hey, you told me that you're from the Boston area, near Boston anyway. So you're right there in the WWE thick of things. Are there any other minor promotions, the independent scene that's going well on the East Coast?
Pretty much any weekend you go out in a VFW or a high school gymnasium. I mean, a lot of times you'll just see the flyers online or even on telephone poles still up there. Because like I was saying, I got in the ring when I was trying to train and wanted to see what it was all about. And Matt Taven, Ring of Honor, the leader of the kingdom down there.
Yeah.
He started out right around here. And I like to brag that I was in the ring for his first training session.
Zanka, we've had a guy on the show. He's getting pretty popular back here on the West Coast. He's been really good to us. And his name's MK Bandit. One time we were talking to him, and he said there's WWE fans and wrestling fans.
I see where you're going. Yep.
Are you a wrestling fan or are you a WWE fan?
I would say I'm a wrestling fan first and foremost. We mainly focus on WWE because honestly, it's the driving force in our traffic. I mean, you'll even notice, even just simply on our Instagram page, Still Real to Us, you'll see every meme that is a WWE related meme gets, this is just numbers, analytics, it's probably boring for other people, but it'll get, I would say, up to 65% more traffic, more like likes, more double taps, whatever you want to call it, than anything I post about New Japan or Ring of Honor or CCW, which is all things I'm a fan of. I mean, I watch New Japan all the time. I'm subscribed to New Japan World. You know, I go to Ring of Honor events every chance I get. So WWE is so easy to access. It's right there in, you know, USA or wherever you're from. And it's just easier to get to, which makes it easier for people to watch.
WWE is a monster. You know, you got to admit that.
One thing you'll notice, too, is the ages. The younger kids are all really general, really into WWE, really, you know, the basic WWE fan. Uh-huh. The older, the teenagers in the early 20s, mid-20s, and guys like me, 30, you'll see them, they're starting to, like you were saying, it's really starting to build a groundswell of all these up-and-coming companies. One thing I will say, too, about WWE a lot of times is they lack storylines, whereas Lucha Underground, that's really where they just have strived. They've been great at it. I mean, some of the stuff is funny, too, until you really caught on and watched a few seasons. You see people disappearing and then coming, like, literally they make people disappear.
Uh-huh.
I love it. I love their storylines. I love that. And the thing that I feel like gets lost in these discussions is they have some of the best pro wrestlers, you know, going, luchas, basically. Their matches are ridiculous. Some of the stuff they pull off, I mean, and it's a lot more polished, I would say, than other things. Like all their backstage promos, it's really polished. It's really shot well. You can tell that they use. I was really happy when they actually started getting their older seasons on Netflix because I really thought that was really going to help them push to the next level.
I'm going to ask you about what has happened over the last 2 years, and you know I'm going to talk about Impact, TNA, Global Force, whatever the heck they're wanting to call it now. Have they hurt themselves by staying with Pop TV? Or
my opinion is exactly what you said. Nobody knows what they're called. I mean, I'm knee deep in this stuff, and I constantly correct myself where I'm like TNA Impact. You know what I'm saying? So they've hurt themselves by just sticking with those core. I think they just got to switch the whole. I don't think it's Pop TV because that's the best deal that they could get at the time.
Uh-huh.
I feel like. Like, Lucha Underground, in my opinion, would be great for, like, you know, remember back when SmackDown was on the Sci-Fi Network?
Oh, yeah.
I think Lucha would just thrive there. I feel like they'd really get into that. Yeah, again, with Impact, I just feel like it's just people don't know. They don't know what to call it. They don't know what to say. There was a period of time there where, in my opinion, they were putting out better programming than WWE. Yep. They had AJ Styles. They had Samoa Joe. They had, you know, everybody, basically. When Ric Flair came back after his retirement, he was in some fun storylines over there. With,
oh, yeah,
you know,
the
Jay
stuff.
Lethal.
Oh, the Jay Lethal stuff was classic, right. Wasn't it? Oh, I loved
and
it.
Their knockouts. I mean, at the time, WWE wasn't doing much about women's wrestling. Now they're starting to really push it to the forefront. But the knockouts, for me, are the ones that really started the, I'm using hand quotes, women's revolution, because those girls could really go. And Gail Kim, someone, in my opinion, who really pushed that over on Impact or TNA at the time. So,
yeah. So one thing I want to talk about is I want to go back in time a little bit. And, you know, back when everybody, literally everybody was watching wrestling, you know, back in the early 2000s, what were you doing? Were you watching WCW? Were you an Attitude Era?
I see where you're going. First and foremost, I was an Attitude guy, but my thumb got a workout. I would go back and forth constantly when Nitro was on. I loved both, but you know, you pick the side back then. And I grew up watching WWE, so maybe it's like you don't pick really which sports team you're going to root for. It's just where you grew up kind of deal. The big thing about the Attitude Era was it hit perfectly for my demographic, my age group, because it was right when I was getting into that, you know, rebellious stage where I think it hit perfectly. And now, you know, obviously WWE went to the PG era, so storylines is what really drove me through.
You really, you just said something there that we've talked many, many times about on our podcast, and Dave and I personally have talked many, many times about the PG era.
I have got to think that they went a little bit too far PG,
mm-hmm.
that there is an audience out there that could sustain a more, I don't want to call it adult, but more of a, yeah, I guess I would call it more of an adult type wrestling where they get into some really serious storylines and some.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's basically, if you're into it, you'll find it. Like, CCW is ridiculous. It's crazy stuff. It's a lot of death matches. It's a lot of, you know, stuff when you're watching, someone like Jim Cornette would be like, this is what's killing the business. Basically, the way I break it down, if you're into strictly wrestling, you can't do better than New Japan. I mean, it's just, especially maybe because if you don't speak Japanese, you're just so focused on the matches that you really get sucked into that. If you're into the hardcore stuff, like I was saying, CCW, Ring of Honor, in my opinion, too, has a mixture of a little bit of everything. I personally just feel like it's what you're into. I mean, I like pro wrestling, like I was saying, so it all works for me. So I even think WWE is actually on the cusp of another, not Attitude Era, but more, I would say, Ruthless Aggression type era. If you look at a lot of the talent right now, it's guys like Samoa Joe, guys like Kevin Owens. You got guys down in NXT who are going to be coming up, Adam Cole. You got guys like that. I think WWE is actually on the cusp of maybe coming out a little bit of the PG thing.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why they went PG, obviously. It was a corporate deal. They went public. They wanted to get more advertising. So it makes sense in that aspect. But obviously, yeah, the hardcore fans kind of shunned it.
You mentioned that your dad was a professional wrestling fan.
Yep.
So are you going to carry that on with your children to watch this and talk about it and share this, this, I think, a great form of storytelling and entertainment?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you it's already happened. I have a three-year-old, and his favorite wrestler right now, no lie, is Braun Strowman. It made me proud.
Yeah.
He loves throwing his arms up and running around the house yelling Braun. So,
Yeah,
I guess I'm carrying it on. And it wasn't something I forced either. It was just, you know, I have to sit down and I'll make memes every Monday and Tuesday. So he caught on to that. And
yeah, it sounds like Zane, doesn't it, Zane?
Yeah. My kid's five, and mom brought back some lucha masks from Mexico when she went down there.
Awesome.
So he likes to get his lucha mask on and have wrestling matches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had quite a few of random frog splashes when I'm lying on the ground watching TV that I'm not ready for.
That was an interesting way you said that we might be coming into a different era. Do you think that would be a positive thing for WWE to maybe shift things around and maybe try to get away from the PG stuff and try to make it a little more hardcore, if you will?
Yeah, I'll say this. I think it's natural. I think it's happening naturally. I think what they like to do, maybe that some people don't see, is they try to start over, it seems like, since the Golden Era, where they go from one side to the next. So I think they're trying to catch kids now who they started with the PG era, and as they're getting older, they're getting a little edgier. And if you notice, the product's gotten a little edgier.
Right.
I think it's going to happen over time. Like I said, a lot of the stars they have right now, too, are just guys that are, you know, basically going to push the envelope a little bit. I mean, so many other companies coming up right now, and with the internet, it's just people are going to be able to find things a lot easier nowadays than before. Who's to say TV is going to even make a big deal in about 10 years? I mean, obviously, their new contracts with USA and Fox are going to help them financially, but crowd-wise, audience-wise, it might not even matter.
I recall a meme that you posted. I think it might have been 2 years ago, because it just showed up on my Facebook page, that you said people were saying, oh, I used to watch wrestling, and it's like, and then you showed some of the stars right now, you know, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and some of these guys, you said, why would you not watch wrestling now?
Right.
The Miz right now is killing it.
Hi, you know, the Miz myself. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love
Dean Ambrose, I mean, you've got so many big names right now. I don't know how to say the question. How does the WWE use these guys and not abuse them?
I've had this conversation on our podcast as well. It's funny because a lot of the comments you'll see on my page is like, oh, they're holding him down or they're burying this guy. Look, there's only so many titles. I think if you're in a prominent storyline, like, let's be honest, the Bobby Lashley, I don't know how you guys feel, but me, the Bobby Lashley, Sami Zayn story is kind of crap.
Oh, yeah.
1 second. Before we leave, if you don't mind if I do one thing. I just want to say hello to my sisters, Kathy, Jessica, Francis. I love you.
Not something I'm totally invested in. But look, Sami Zayn and Bobby Lashley are getting prominent TV time, so that's a positive. I know it's a crap storyline. I mean, I crap on it every chance I get. I don't think anybody's really being treated unfairly. I mean, if you were to ask me, is AJ Styles being champion holding anybody else back from becoming? I would say AJ Styles deserves to be WWE champion over anybody on SmackDown. So. The one thing I will say is they have more talent now on their roster, including NXT, than ever. And the thing that's really hurting them, in my opinion, is creative. It's like two storylines going on in each brand. And, you know, one of them involves the title, and then the other one involves Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn. So I feel like where they're losing talent is that they're not putting them in storylines. They have 3 hours of TV. They could really be doing something fun with a lot of these guys. I wouldn't say so much the talent is going to get it's getting stifled. I'd say creatively they're getting stifled.
Bobby Lashley saying, I love you.
I love you.
I just about lost my lunch when he did that. But of course, Zane knows I love my lunch. But anyway, guys, I love my lunch. I'm just speaking as a fan here. Sometimes I feel.
Oh, me too. I am not an expert.
Yeah, I feel cheated. Yeah, what are they doing with the creative department? Do they not have a focus? Do they not?
I think a lot of the times, again, I'm not an expert. It's just a personal opinion. They focus heavily on the guy who they think, this isn't even a Roman Reigns bashing thing, it could be anybody in his spot. All their story and all their creative goes into those characters, and everybody else kind of creative-wise gets lost in the shuffle. So all the creative seems to be going in one direction, and if you ask me, that's why the product isn't, you know, gaining more than a 3.2 or whatever it's been getting lately. So
yeah.
I think, like you're saying, I mean, if the trickle-down effect, if everybody's doing great on the roster, more people are going to tune in for their favorite guy because they're losing a lot of people, I think, in that aspect where they're pushing one guy that they feel like is going to be the face, and a majority of the audience at the time isn't into that guy.
If you had to pick one or two talents that are out there right now that have the potential to become pretty big stars, maybe moving to the WWE,
Yeah, there's a lot of talent out there. It's just a matter of,
you know, them getting the right booking, really.
I bet Ricochet is really good, isn't he?
Ricochet is amazing. He's somebody that is just, he's a phenomenal athlete. I get out of bed sometimes and my knees pop and I'm sore. This dude's flying through the air, lands on his knees like it's no big deal, and it's just, it's amazing some of the things that these guys can do with their bodies.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question as somebody who has a podcast?
Sure.
Absolutely. Do you guys think Triple H gets too much credit? Do you think it's more of like a, I don't know, this is more of a baseball analogy, but a George Steinbrenner thing where he just has the most money so he can garner all the best talent out there? Or do you think he's handpicking the right guys to move into NXT?
I think NXT was created to put the indies out of business. The WWE and Vince McMahon, he wants to be the king, and he wants to rule the world of professional wrestling. And I think it's a great product. It's 1 hour long. You know, their pay-per-views are phenomenal. I mean, that pay-per-view they did before WrestleMania was better than WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
The matches were better. There was better quality. There was better wrestling.
I definitely think they needed a farm system type deal where they wanted to get people more into the WWE style of wrestling, you know. I thought it was more of a way to appease the almost, I'm using hand quotes again, you guys can't see me, Attitude Era fans, where it was kind of, they knew what they were doing with the NXT comes up out of nowhere and they're giving people wrestling again with, you know, just straightforward storylines, good guy, bad guy. And I thought it was almost a way to appease the fans and more of our age bracket.
I've always tried to think of it as from a negative point of view. You know, you see Vince and the way he does things, and he's a businessman and he's not stupid.
Yeah. You'd get along great with my co-host.
So Dave has to rein me in, because Dave comes from a media background where he says, hey, you know, well, they've got to produce what the majority of people want. Or else they're not going to make money. And in the end, what drives us all?
You know, money talks, and my money needs a bigger vocabulary, by the way. But, you know, you mentioned a name when you were just talking a few minutes ago. You mentioned Tommaso Ciampa. When he was with Ring of Honor, I was such a huge fan. Then when he goes over to NXT, he's the good guy. And I was going, I'm so confused. And boy, when they switched him, I just about went out of my gourd.
When he's got the it thing, the it factor, like you said, there's not much to him. Like he doesn't, you know, he's not flashy, he's not that, but he's got that it factor.
Yeah.
It's his attitude. And that's something that a lot of these guys could, you know, almost learn from, is a guy like that, is it's all in the attitude. I know that this has been beaten to the ground, but a lot of the heels for a while there were just trying to be the cool heel, as people would say.
Yeah.
Tommaso just wants to be hated on Twitter, in the ring. And he's great at it. He keeps it kayfabe, which is something I appreciate. And I don't want to use there's a fine line between being a male reproductive organ.
Uh-huh.
And see, I caught myself.
Oh, thank you.
And a heel.
And I'll mention one name. See where you go with it. Roman Reigns. What would you say about Roman Reigns right now?
This might shock you because I post a lot of, you know, memes about him, but I'm a fan of his work. I think the guy, I lose a lot of people when I start this. I think the guy has it. He's got the look. He's got the in-ring capabilities. He can go in the ring when given the right opponent. So when it comes to Roman Reigns, I see what they see in him. But I also see the biggest heel that they could have in years, and if they just flip him, because he has that cockiness that people want to hate. You know, I'm better than everybody just by punching people in the mouth. They could have a great heel because people want to hate him now, it seems, anyway.
And what a great heel. So then that kind of brings up the subject of one Brock Lesnar.
I think it's fun because people really are aggravated. I think people are so aggravated with him that this beats him. I've seen people who comment the most vile stuff towards Roman Reigns on my page. Just let Roman get the title already. If I could only work once every 3 months and get paid the kind of money he is, I don't fault the guy for that. But, yeah, I mean, I think Brock Lesnar's fun. I like that he's a beast. He's basically Thanos in WWE, where he just kind of shows up, kills your favorite guy, and then leaves for a while.
That's a great take, because Dave and I are so sour on Brock. I've never thought of it from that point of view of where they may be doing this on purpose.
I'm with you guys. I'm over it. I can see, I'm trying to give you the perspective as I can see where they're going. And
yeah, wouldn't it be fun to see Bobby Lashley and him go at it in the ring?
How do you feel about Bobby Lashley's current character, though?
I hate
it. Too much mic time? They got to make him an ass kicker. They can't be doing this.
Oh, yeah.
I love you.
They go either really cheesy baby face.
I love you.
Or really chicken-esque heel. So it's like that formula only works for certain guys.
Yeah.
You know, beats people up.
I love you.
Block out an hour for a pay-per-view. Make it a no-holds-bar, no disqualification. Just tear that arena to pieces. Just let them rip each other apart.
It could be a great one, man. It's got to be this beast. It's got to be another beast to take them out, in my opinion.
Exactly.
I think it should be a Bobby Lashley or a Braun or somebody who can still instill the fear in the other guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that guy beat Brock. I'm getting out of his. Like when Braun broke the ladder on Raw, you know, and Bobby Roode's face sold it. It was perfect.
Yeah.
If Roman beats Brock, it's his fourth or fifth chance. It's not going to have that same effect for me.
We've just been so excited to get another wrestling fan like yourself that does podcasts and does on the show.
Thank you guys. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been great. And
I've been trying to get an interview with somebody from the WWE going through all the hoops, and you know how difficult that is.
I've got friends in WWE who can't talk to me on.
Yeah, that it's just amazing.
On tape.
I think it was about a year ago. I don't know if you tweeted it or your partner talking about our podcast. You tweeted out, "Try Turnbuckle Trash. You won't be disappointed." And we thank you very much for that. It was very, very nice of you.
That's why I was glad when you guys asked me to come on, because I enjoy spreading the wrestling community, making it a one thing, not a whole bunch of people just hating on each other.
We're going to be talking with Mitch Henlein. Is that how you pronounce your last name,
yeah,
Mitch? Okay.
Henlein, so, yeah.
Mitch has worked with us here as part of the Cache Valley Media Group. And Mitch went to see the WWE event Saturday night, June 23rd, at West Valley City at the Maverick Center. But it was his first time ever going to a live event. Now, Mitch, you also had your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us your brother's name.
Drew Henlein. He's my twin.
He is.
So we've been womb mates.
And Drew happens to have Down syndrome.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh. He's been a fan of wrestling for a long time.
He was so happy. I could see. I would look over every once in a while and see Drew just having a great time, pointing at the wrestlers, yelling at them. And then I'd look over and I'd see you, and you were kind of like, oh, this is pretty cool. This isn't bad, is it? Yeah, so that was your first time too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Unless you count the wrestling matches Drew and I had growing up, where he would, you know, imitate what he saw on TV. Yeah, that was our first time. I watched a little bit of it back in the Sting era, back when he was really big, but I hadn't seen it in a few years.
And I told you last week, when I found out you were going to be going to the event with your brother Drew, that you would become more of a fan. I'm going to ask you, Mitch, are you now a fan of professional wrestling?
Yes, yeah. I mean, when it's on, I'm pretty sure I'll stop and tune in a little bit more. Especially now that I'm familiar with a lot of the guys and I've seen them up close in person. Bobby Lashley, I mean, he was huge. I could not believe that. And I'm for sure gonna follow it more.
You saw Braun Strowman?
Yes, I would hate to be put in any situation where Braun Strowman was angry with me.
So you got an opportunity to see basically what professional wrestling is about. What were some of your thoughts about what professional wrestling you thought it was now compared to now?
One of the things that stuck out the most to me is the fans and how into it the fans get. I mean, it's just like, you know, any college football or basketball or whatever game I've been to, those fans are in it. They're hanging on every punch, everything, you know. And you can tell that they have a passionate, passionate fan base.
Would you go again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Would you recommend somebody to go again?
Yeah, I would bring my friends, show them. I mean, I was Snapchatting them the pics of it the whole time, you know. And it was just fun. It was just fun. It was like a rock concert mixed with, you know, a sporting event type deal.
part two of Turnbuckle Trash, the best of 2018 guest, and also coming up, Butt Fumbles. We're going to be talking to a very interesting man called the MK Bandit. MK Bandit is a professional wrestling manager, and he talks about what's going on the independent scene and some exciting news with the House of Hardcore. We'll also be joined by a newbie, Andrew Crapo. He joins us. He went to one of the events with Zane and I, and we get his perspective on being a newbie at professional wrestling. And then another trashhead joins us, Mike Calvin from North Carolina. It's all coming up. Oh, and don't forget, Butt Fumbles.